Robin McCarron.
Hashtag authority. Hashtag Steph Bouncy. Hashtag SmackDown 15.
Jeff Hawkins.
You done digging that hole?
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Robin McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Dance on your grave, dirt sheet writer. Jack Gallagher will be just fine as a sports entertainment, kids. We're no threat, people. We're not dirty. We're not mean. We love everybody, but we do as we please. When the weather's fine, we go fishing or go swimming in the sea. We're always happy. Life's for living. Yeah, that's our philosophy. Mungo Jerry in the summertime. It's time for Summerfest, kids. NXT, SummerSlam, we'll preview those. We won't preview two Evolve shows, a Ring of Honor card, and a big UFC. So I ask of you, do you have enough time in your weekend for all this? Paige and Alberto Del Rio do. They've been suspended for 30 days. Host, as always, of Shake Them Ropes is Rob McCarron. And Rob, a two-part question to kick things off. If they trusted AJ Styles to come out cold in the Royal Rumble and get a response, why not the SummerSlam crowd and the Demon King? And then part two, now that it's a main roster gimmick, will Vince make the Demon King a literal demon instead of just mind games?
Yeah, well, I don't know what's going to happen with this Demon King. I was surprised he showed up in full gimmick on Monday and that they didn't save it. The Royal Rumble's a different thing. A lot of people come out cold in the Royal Rumble. The Royal Rumble, you know, people get reactions when they come out. But yeah, that Brooklyn crowd was going to go hype for the Finn Balor debut, I would think. Mm-hmm. I don't know for sure, but I would imagine so. And it's a little bit surprising they gave it away on TV, but it is just another sign that the focus is TV. It is not the pay-per-views anymore. The focus is TV. You've already signed up for the network. They got your money. They don't have to worry about you signing up the day of SummerSlam. They have your money, but it's TV ratings that they got to keep a hold of. And they got to, you know, in a couple of years when they have to renew their contracts or find some other home, they got to make sure it's a valuable property because that's where the majority of their money comes from, is those TV contracts. So it's just another sign that they're focusing on TV more than pay-per-view again.
That whole Raw was angering. It really was, and it's a lot. I mean, SmackDown, at least you can say they've made incremental steps in booking feuds.
Yeah.
The only thing that has any real heat off of that Raw half of the roster is Charlotte and Sasha, in my opinion. I love the fact that they actually booed on that.
Yeah, people are coming around on that. It's funny, too, because a lot of people are coming around on the whole program with Rusev and Roman Reigns when it's happening. I don't know if everyone's excited to watch it on the pay-per-view, even though I am, but you just got 20 minutes of it. The only difference, you had 20 minutes at the end of Raw. The only difference now being that it'll be for the championship on Sunday. But they did a really good job of getting the crowd really into their stuff, too. And it was given the main event slot. I mean, it's the second week in a row where Rusev was in the main event slot, even though last week, of course, built to that the first of now seven more Sheamus and Cesaro matches. But yeah, we'll get into all that. We got SummerSlam to talk about a little bit later on. You mentioned how we're not going to preview Evolve shows, and that's true. But there is a newsworthy part of the Evolve makeup coming this week.
I am absolutely stoked for the Evolve shows. I'm going to be watching both of them, I think.
Yeah, Evolve Wrestling. Evolve Wrestling is going to be in Maryland and then I think New York, the second show.
Yes. You're correct.
And it's going to be in the afternoon on Saturday, so as not to compete with NXT TakeOver. One of the original main events of that Saturday show was supposed to be Cody Rhodes and Johnny Gargano. It is now Cody Rhodes and Chris Hero, because Johnny Gargano obviously is going to be on NXT TakeOver and was not available to Evolve this weekend. But yeah, the return to the ring of Cody Rhodes, the debut of Cody Rhodes and Evolve, Friday night, Zack Sabre Jr. of Cruiserweight Classic fame, and Saturday, Chris Hero of Everything fame.
Mm-hmm.
Those should be good.
Oh, yeah, cannot wait. I mean, I'm going to be so backlogged because I think I'm also going to watch Scenic City Invitational, too, at some point. So, I mean, my weekend may be wall-to-wall wrestling.
It's a lot of wrestling that's live. I think Shikara has a show. Obviously UFC with Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz.
Yes.
Oh boy, it's a loaded weekend. But yeah, SummerSlam, the big one happening on Sunday. We're gonna go through SummerSlam. We're gonna go through NXT TakeOver. Gonna go through the plans of Shake Them Ropes over the next week and so forth. But let's start with the big news that broke today, the day we're recording this, Wednesday. Paige and Alberto Del Rio suspended for 30 days for their first violation of the wellness policy. Not effective immediately. It's effective tomorrow, Thursday, today, if you're listening to this on Thursday. I will not recklessly speculate on what they could have been failed for. But Jeff, if you wish to do so, I leave it up to you, Mr. Conspiracy Theorist.
Oh, I'm a conspiracy theorist. I just don't believe in coincidences. And let me ask you something.
I think that's kind of like the definition, isn't it?
Maybe. This may be wild, wild, reckless speculation of which we sometimes indulge.
Let's get reckless.
Is it possible at all that they don't really fail? That WWE may just have one in the jacket and say, yeah, you fail for this. And just to hold it over. And you have to prove that you didn't take this. Otherwise, we're going to suspend you for 30 days.
You don't believe in coincidences. You think something's going on here. You know, everyone's out there making their jokes about, you know, obviously the couple. They've already been split up in the draft.
You now made a joke. Happens. Don't you shame me, sir. You had a joke in my DMs that I found hilarious.
I don't think you're... DMs don't exist. DMs DMs don't exist. Ask Gabe Sapolsky. DMs don't exist.
Yeah. You know what? I tend to think I'm not going to go so far as to say that they never took anything. Neither of them, because that would be dumb. But, you know, Alberto Del Rio's physique is what it is. And Paige likes to party.
What a 2016 for Alberto Del Rio. The guy came back late last year and he beats John Cena. John Cena goes away for a little bit. And Alberto Del Rio looks like he's going to be a big star coming back to WWE after his run on the independents and in AAA. And this year, I mean, he gets put together with the League of Nations and that fails miserably. And he's basically like the low person on the totem pole in that group.
Oh, let's cut it off there. We can just cut it off at he debuts back at it was Hell in the Cell, right? In Los Angeles.
It was October, whatever it was.
Yeah. And in Staples. And he gets a great reaction. And they stick him with Zeb Coulter in that god awful Mex America.
I forgot about that too. Yeah.
Whatever. Garbage.
Zeb Coulter is his manager, and then he goes into League of Nations, and he loses the rematch with John Cena. John Cena goes away the next night again with an injury, and he's just nowhere to be found. He's a nobody. Nothing that Alberto Del Rio does matters, and now here he is losing. He's basically the jobber to the stars on SmackDown,
yeah, you know,
putting everyone else over, and now he's suspended for 30 days when they got and they still got Total Divas coming up. With Paige suspended, even though she hasn't been used too much. Very weird timing. And remember just a couple of months ago, maybe not even, back in Las Vegas when Paige and Alberto Del Rio had the incident with police being called. And it's just been a wacky year for Alberto Del Rio. Just strange year.
Alberto Del Rio's entire WWE existence has been weird since they decided that they needed to have him be a Mexican slash Hispanic superstar as opposed to just a very interesting rich aristocrat. They tried to give him Daniel Bryan's yes chant. That failed, and he still does that crap in the ring. They tried to make him a babyface when he just wasn't comfortable doing it. They split off Ricardo Rodriguez, which was a huge part of the gimmick. Then they fire him for slapping a guy. Which, you know what, I don't believe two wrongs make a right. I thought WWE was somewhat justified in that. But then he goes out on the independent circuit, goes to Lucha Underground, goes to Ring of Honor, starts making a name for himself again, becomes interesting again. WWE decides, no, we can't have that happening. We'll throw some money at him, bring him back, and do nothing.
So what happened?
I don't even like the guy. As a wrestler, he bores the hell out of me, but still.
You don't even like the guy.
He does very little for me as a sports entertainer in the WWE system. I thought he was fairly interesting outside of it. Don't get me wrong. He was doing some fairly good work outside of it. But here's another conspiracy that I brought up. Is it possible that this was a purpose? That he failed the test on purpose, much like Tully Blanchard back in the day.
No,
because
he
doesn't have much time left on his contract.
I don't believe he would do that, though.
Okay.
I don't think he's going to. I mean, yeah, he doesn't have that much time on his contract left if he wants. Being reported many places out there that he has an out. He has basically an opt out in October, 1 year after signing and coming back. But no, this guy still wants money. The whole reason he came back was for money. Think he's going to give up a month's pay and have that on his record just because?
You know what? He has.
If he wanted, it doesn't matter. He's not going to give up. No, the guy came back for money reasons. He's not giving up a month of it and then leaving. And well, he could do what Ryback did. He can just go home.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have to fail the drug test. That's the biggest. That may be, Jeff, the biggest conspiracy you've ever had on the show.
It probably is, and I don't necessarily believe it. I just bring it up as a possibility. I mean, if you really don't like what you're doing, and Lord knows, I'm at a point in my personal job where I'm thinking about self-sabotaging myself so I can get fired.
Oh, that's true, because you've done it all the time. You tell me that there is no one at your work that looks at your Facebook when every day you're posting about wanting to quit and finding something else?
I don't post anything on my Facebook.
Okay. If that's the story we're sticking with.
They think it's a joke for the most part when I complain. So, I mean, it's one of those things where I could see him being so fed up with getting screwed around, especially when you're dating someone and they break you up. You know what? Screw this. I'll go fail a drug test. I'll take some time off. Maybe you'd like to come along with me.
Well, boom. Then what's Paige's excuse? Is it that she just, you know, Alberto Del Rio was going to sabotage himself and Paige said, yeah, I'll do that with you?
Stranger things have happened.
I guess that's true. That's true.
I realize this isn't logical. And this is just, you know, this is just talk.
It's Jeff taking the reckless speculation segment very seriously.
I know.
I want to make sure there's recklessness in here.
I complain about my job on Twitter, not Facebook.
I don't know. I think it's both. I think it's on both. But we will leave it there. Paige and Alberto Del Rio. They won't be on the road for the next 30 days, but you can be with Lyft. Right now, Lyft has a special bonus for Shake Them Ropes listeners. If you sign up to drive at Lyft.com/bonus, that's Lyft.com/bonus. In addition to the $35 per hour you can potentially make driving, Lyft is offering a huge $500 bonus. To new drivers, go to Lyft.com/bonus, select our show, Shake Them Ropes, at the sign up, and the $500 bonus plus up to $35 an hour to drive can be yours, guys. It's real money. It can be yours while driving, having some fun in your free time, driving with Lyft, whether it's your off day or just a few hours here and there, or maybe all weekend long, getting those drunk couples in Las Vegas like Alberto Del Rio and Paige home. Make some extra money all at your own pace. Drive with Lyft. Not to mention they let passengers tip drivers. I found that out when I was in Indianapolis last weekend using Lyft. You can actually tip the driver. So if you're a driver, you smile nice, you be safe, get those tips all over town. On your phone, tablet, or computer, go to Lyft.com/bonus and select Shake Them Ropes at sign up for the special $500 sign up bonus deal going on right now. That's Lyft.com/bonus. Choose Shake Them Ropes and begin driving whenever you want. This weekend, even, Jeff, you and I talked about this before we were going on air. I'm headed to Chicago for the week. So as I roam awkwardly around Chicago, I will be sure to be using Lyft myself. So if you sign up right now, you can potentially be the one taking me to Harry Carey's restaurant next week. Make great money up to $35 an hour with a $500 sign up bonus right now. Lyft.com/bonus. Choose Shake Them Ropes.
Will there be a Rich Kreach meeting?
Probably not. Probably not. Dude's busy. We're all busy. This is a weird time. This is a weird time. I actually got busy stuff going on. It's absolutely insane. On that note, too, by the way, we should let people know. Obviously, this podcast is coming out late Wednesday night for those on the East Coast in the United States. We're about a month into our new schedule, where after the live draft episodes, we started doing the show on Wednesdays so that we can have anything on Raw and SmackDown to talk about. Especially helpful on these pay-per-view weeks where we can watch both go-home shows and know the full card before anything happens. Even though WWE does tend to get in a place where they add an extra match on like the Sunday before. Like it's 2 hours until the pay-per-view and there's a new match. Or even the Friday, you get like WWE.com making a new match. And if they do that, it'll be the 12th match added to SummerSlam. This show is going to be long, Jeff. It is absolutely insane.
Add a 12th match. I can think of one.
There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them they can add.
Baron Corbin and Kalisto.
Sure. It could happen. And obviously Sami Zayn not on the show. So something with Sami Zayn could potentially happen. Something with Braun Strowman can happen. That could be a match. Maybe Braun Strowman comes out and beats up a dude in a minute in an unadvertised match. Maybe he beats up Jon Stewart, who's going to be there.
Heath.
Could be Heath. Could be. What a week of TV Heath Slater had too, by the way.
Fantastic.
He's great.
Fantastic.
This guy gets it. This guy is working both Raw and SmackDown. He's the only one outside of Randy Orton and Brock Lesnar. Heath Slater knows what he's doing. Like, mm-hmm. he doesn't have to be the top guy, but he's working both shows, getting paid twice. Good for him. Good for him. Before we get into the SummerSlam card, Curt Hawkins is coming back. Jeff, your thoughts?
I love his Matt Hardy ripoff gimmick.
It is a total Matt Hardy ripoff gimmick. It also is the Chuck Norris Fact ripoff gimmick. Yeah. Like, literally, because they used the revolving door joke there. It's unbelievable. I don't get how this fits any type of character. Is he going to come out and be a Matt Hardy ripoff? Like, instead of making a broken character, are they just reliving 2002 Matt Hardy?
He needs a Jeff Hawkins gimmick. That's what he needs.
I don't think anyone does. In fact, you probably don't even.
I hate my gimmick. I need to get out of it.
Oh, it's bad. It's bad.
I need to be repackaged. Have a few squash matches.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, sure.
Due to the travels, though, we will not be live as we've been on most pay-per-views this year. We will not have a live show on Sunday night. We will talk about SummerSlam next week, most likely. We're still trying to figure out what our show is going to be next week because I won't be in the recording location. And we will figure it out. We'll keep you posted on Twitter. Go follow us at Shake Them Ropes. We will keep you posted about what next week's show is going to be. We will have a show next week. We don't take weeks off. We are no days off Shake Them Ropes.
Mm.
So we will have a show next week. We just won't be live on Sunday. I apologize for those who are looking forward potentially to a show on Sunday. We will be back next week in our regular slot with a show talking Shake Them or SummerSlam, NXT, anything big from the weekend, plus Raw and SmackDown.
Oh, we're going to be talking that NXT takeover. I can guarantee you that.
All right.
That's going to be a fantastic show.
It's a big weekend. It really sucks. I wish we could do a show. Like, we could do a show both Saturday and Sunday. It's just too many shows in the whole schedule. It's too many shows in the whole schedule. But we will be back next week with our regular show. So you're not getting none of us. We will be around. We will be here for you. Maybe something doesn't go right on SummerSlam for you. Maybe you're really a big Cesaro fan and Sheamus wins his match and you need consoling. We will be able to console you next week. We promise. That's what we will do. Let's talk about the biggest show of the weekend first. Obviously, that is going to be Shikara.
I'm that one linger. You go ahead.
SummerSlam 2016. Let's start with this Sheamus Cesaro match.
Good Lord.
We had...
Do we need a best of seven series on this?
Well, especially considering, Cesaro's already up 2-0.
What are the stakes? They're not going to heighten anything. It's going to be seven of the same matches. Sheamus is going to win the first three or two. He's going to go up. It's going to be that basic thing, but this means nothing.
They'll really be
fine matches. I mean, they'll be your 2.5, 3-star fine thing. Cesaro will be, but they're not going to put any stipulations on it, and they're starting it at SummerSlam. Why didn't they start this 7 weeks ago so it ends at SummerSlam?
Well, they kind of did. I mean, 2 weeks in a row on Raw, Cesaro beat Sheamus. He's up 2-0. Now we're having the best of seven because the GMs just blatantly ignore Cesaro. I mean, Cesaro wanted his U.S. title shot. He gets the match, but there's a disqualification. He doesn't get a result there, and instead of a rematch that he's earned, he's just going to put him in with Sheamus again for seven matches.
And let me ask you something. What does the winner get out of this? And in terms of they're going on to the next story.
It's all
going to
be the brass ring stuff. It's going to be if you win this feud, you might get a title shot again. You may have the right to impress me.
How about some long-term planning? That's all I ask for. And this angered me. This is what really set me off other than the demon thing on SummerSlam. I mean, on that Raw. It really did.
Yeah, but Sheamus Cesaro, I don't need to see seven of them. This would be the time, Jeff. This would really be the time where you do a sweep. Four in a row. I don't even care if it's Sheamus. Just someone sweep it. Four in a row.
Yes.
This is the one. We don't want to see seven of these matches. And the sad thing is, they're probably going to be pretty good. Like, these two guys are good in the ring.
They're going to be good, but they're all going to be the same, pretty much.
Yeah. The big swing spot, seven times.
Big swing, the what is it, the Shots of the Bowery or whatever the hell he calls that stupid thing.
Yeah, the Beats.
He'll do a white noise. You know, yeah, it'll be the paint by numbers Cesaro Sheamus.
Basically,
match.
Depending on who is winning the match, the only difference will be the final sequence. You know, what moves are countered and which moves aren't.
Sheamus is winning the opener.
Sheamus is winning the opener, so says Jeffrey Hawkins, who's making wild, reckless proclamations tonight on the show on Shake Them Ropes.
Well, they could do the 1-3-1 type of gimmick, too. So, I mean, it doesn't matter, though.
Do I need to wellness test you, Jeff? Would I have no partner for 30 days if I wellness tested Jeff Hawkins?
I am not well right now.
Oh, boy. Obviously, the most important match of the night, Carmella, Becky Lynch, and Naomi going up against Natalya, Eva Marie.
Who's your pick?
I told you my pick.
Did you?
I'm sure I did.
No, you didn't. Repeat it.
I promise I did.
No, don't Jericho me on this.
I was going to try to go through every single match, not even making a pick.
I know.
Every single one. And here you caught me on the very first one. And I thought I transitioned so beautifully.
Trust me, it was a noble effort.
Was it?
And a lesser host would have picked up on it.
I really tried. I mean, you are an eagle-eared Jeff Hawk. You are like, you have ears of a hawk. Is that a thing? Do hawks have like really strong ears?
Sure.
Well, you have one. So that was good on you. But we move along to the 6-woman tag team match. Carmella, Becky Lynch, and Naomi against Natalya, Eva Marie, and Alexa Bliss. Eva Marie continued her streak of not wrestling due to traffic. That was awesome.
Was awesome.
It's so funny that people are turning on this Eva Marie. People are turning on the fans who like the Eva Marie gimmick. Like,
are they?
You really think Eva Marie's a genius? We're not talking about Eva Marie being a genius. We're talking about the material she is given, and this material she is given has been great.
Yeah, she doesn't have to do anything except look hot.
Right.
That's all she has.
It is predicated by the fact that, you know, the perception of her is she's not very good, right? And the perception of her is she's hated. And that helps the story along. That certainly does.
And if you watch Talking Smack, which is the best show on the network right now, week in and week out.
It does get a lot of praise.
She seems very vapid and not very bright, which also adds to the hate.
Wow. Just putting Eva Marie's intelligence on blast.
Look, she has a certain kind of intelligence in that she knows who she is.
She is self-aware.
She's kind of self-aware.
Okay. Well, okay. Six woman tag. They're all together here. No championship. Maybe at Backlash. Does this match matter?
They have to pay off the bit. And I think they do here. I think Eva Marie shows up late, maybe 2/3 of the way through, 3/4 of the way, and gets a fluke pin probably on Carmella. But she has to win. She has to get the pin here, doesn't she?
Well, I assume I don't assume really, but this is what in my mind I would do if I were them and what I think they're going to do. I'm not trying to fantasy book here. I think this is what we're going to see. Is the entire match, Natalya and Alexa Bliss are trying to tag an Eva, but something happens every single time, whether she's pushed off the apron, whether she slips, whether she's accidentally not paying attention, whether she goes down to commentary to do something. Every single time they try to tag her in, she is somewhere else. And then eventually, like, she tags in by accident, and that's when she gets the pin. I think Eva Marie beats Becky Lynch.
Becky Lynch, huh? Wow.
Yeah, why not? I mean, what are you going to do? Maybe Carmella.
I think Carmella can take the pin. Becky Lynch is finally getting built back up, and Naomi's too new. So Carmella can probably get it.
Yeah. But either way, Eva Marie somehow gets the win.
Yes.
I mean, she's getting the win in this match. So there you go. That's what I believe is going to happen there. You got me to make a pick in the very important match of these six women here on the show. Now we go to two men. The Miz and Apollo Crews. This match is for the Intercontinental Championship. Apollo Crews, obviously you're well aware with the story of Apollo Crews on WWE TV. This guy has overcome struggle after struggle after struggle to finally, after long last, get a championship shot.
I literally forgot this was a match up until last night after they told me it. Yeah.
Exactly. The Miz and Apollo Crews. It's the same reasoning why I'm picking the Miz in this match. Why I think he'll win is the same reasoning as last time, is I just think that the Miz story isn't done yet, but it is SummerSlam. It is in Brooklyn. Apollo Crews, if you remember, made his takeover debut. He actually wrestled on NXT TV. Actually, it probably didn't air until after Brooklyn. Either way, Apollo Crews made his debut last year in Brooklyn, and here he comes again in Brooklyn to potentially get the Intercontinental Championship. Will we have a new champion, Jeff?
No. God, no.
He says.
This seems like one of the easiest picks to make on
really?
This card.
I don't know yeah. about that.
They haven't let him talk. They haven't done anything with the character. Why are you going to... I mean...
Element of surprise,
unless
my pal.
Unless the choice is to just put the belt on him and see what happens. I just can't see that. And yeah, Miz is too interesting and too bankable.
Have we had one of those in a while? Am I completely blanking? Have we had a... let's just put the belt on him, see what happens in a while. Was that Dean Ambrose? Does Dean Ambrose fit that category?
Yeah, I don't know, but Finn Balor would.
Let's,
if they decide to do it to him.
Yeah, if they give it to him. If they give it to him. Although, yeah. I don't even know if that's going to... Well, we'll talk about it later on.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later on. So, no new champion, Jeff says, in the Intercontinental Championship match. For all we know, the three matches we just talked about very well could be the pre-show matches.
Mm-hmm.
Or they could all be on the main show. Or mix and match. We don't know. Because we don't know what the kickoff show matches are going to be yet. Like, it seems like that's going to be a decision we find out maybe even on Sunday. As... You follow WWE.com, your number one breaking news source, by the way. WWE.com were the ones who broke the Paige and Alberto Del Rio story today. They didn't cop them off to an ESPN or a Rolling Stone this time.
Do you think there's something behind that?
I go back to Paige and Del Rio, and the first thing you can do is more conspiracy theories.
I don't know.
I need to get music. When we go into reckless speculation of Jeff Hawkins, I need to get like some music for it. So people know, people can separate the news.
Oh, and it's Paige's birthday.
It is Paige's birthday today. Happy birthday, Paige. You now have 30 days to celebrate with whatever you want and whoever you want in any fashion you want, really. Although it sounds like apparently you've been doing that.
Not an accident.
Not an accident, Jeff says. Enzo Amore, big Cass. Chris Jericho, Kevin Owens. Tag team clash. In theory, you would think that the winner of this becomes a contender to the tag titles, although I don't even know if the tag titles are that important as far as this program goes. I'm really excited about it. I'm actually interested in seeing, most specifically, Big Cass in there with Kevin Owens for a long tag team match. I know they had the clash on Raw, but this is a whole new environment, and I really want to see those two go at it. And I'm looking forward to this tag team match, really the whole show. We should just mention before we get into the meat of SummerSlam, I'm hyped about the show. I'm excited about it. There's a lot of good stuff on here. And what's great is the fact that outside of the six-man or the six-woman tag team match, most of these matches are straight up. You got one-on-one or you got a tag team versus a tag team. There's not a lot of crazy multi-man chaos happening.
Yeah, it kind of goes to our top 100 list where you like you watching the matches in a bubble. And I like builds. I like watching builds, and then I can be satisfied with the match. And there weren't that many builds for this that weren't contrived necessarily. So, but I'm still excited about the card.
Yeah, I'm looking at the card as it is, and I'm excited. For my current wrestling, obviously you're living through it. I feel excited, obviously, when the builds are a little bit better, when there's something for us to sink our teeth into. But at the same time, I can look at a card and say, you know what? Yes, Raw hasn't done a very good job or SmackDown hasn't done a very good job of making me care about this match. But I know come Sunday, I'm going to get 15 minutes of these two guys in the ring, giving all they can in front of a hot crowd. And things are on the line, whether it's the tag team titles, whether it's the Intercontinental title, whether it's the world title or whether it's the world's world title.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff on the line.
I think this is a standard Enzo Cass tag team match. Enzo takes a beating. Cass gets the hot tag. It'll still be fun. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah.
I think they end up switching dance partners with the other tag team match eventually. So, Enzo and Cass win, I think.
I'd probably open the show with this match.
Oh, the pop that Enzo and Cass would get to open this show?
Yep.
Yeah.
Open the show. Very strong. The crowd will be into Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens, too. It's not like they're only going to be one-sided. Like, this is going to be a match that's going to get a lot of attention to it. And
well,
I think you open the pay-per-view with it.
You remember last year they missed a golden opportunity to put the tag team belts in NXT on Enzo and Cass here in Brooklyn. And
well,
we talked about that as well. I mean, it was the time to do it then. or never do it. And then they just never did it, which is fine.
They just never did it. Because I really do wonder. I think they kept them away from the tag team titles on purpose because at any moment they could have been called up. At any moment. I don't think they needed the tag team titles either. Again, it is back then, even a year ago, it was still somewhat developmental. Like, they gave the titles to the Revival, of all people. They gave them to Blake and Murphy. They didn't need it on the big stars. They were trying to elevate talents that weren't thought of as anything, that weren't indie stars.
But the gimmick was floundering when they were down there. At the time of this show last year, Enzo and Cass were sink or swim at that point. They had become stale. They were trying to get them in feuds with other face teams to make them interesting. They were almost a dead act.
Well, it was a little bit before that. Around the actual TakeOver Brooklyn, they were pretty hot. And Brooklyn, you know, really made them seem really hot.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. There was a period there where you wondered, okay, are these guys even going to survive? But now they are thriving in the WWE main roster. I mean, getting a ton of TV time. Enzo obviously getting a lot of talking time. Big deal. I think Enzo and Big Cass win.
Yes.
And I think they go on to the tag team title scene at some point. Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens, maybe they build a feud off of this. Maybe they do split up the tag team partners and they build some type of program between those two. Or they just become big brawling tag team who tries to fight back into the world title picture. Or maybe they go off with the New Day.
That's what I was thinking. I think the New Day promos with Jericho and Owens, that'd be something people would want to see.
Well, let's talk about that one then. The New Day defending the tag team titles. It is Kofi and Xavier, no Big E. Big E taking out with his injury taken out. The New Day going up against Gallows and Anderson. Gallows and Anderson getting some promo time to set up this program. Show a little personality here on WWE TV. Is it Guns and Gallows time?
Yes, I think. It's the story of Woods fights valiantly, but it's not as good a team as without Big E, and they lose the belt. Hopefully, I hope they get this comedy thing away from Gallows and Anderson after this. They have to. I think they need to be established as killers. I mean, it's great to be entertaining, and I enjoy them on podcasts. But
you can be entertaining and killers at the same time.
Yes.
But more serious instead of like half and half. You know, you can be 80-20 serious. Mm-hmm. You can do that.
No, I'll take that. Trust me.
Yeah. So that, and what's a fun dynamic here, and you brought it up, is they usually don't play up the fact that New Day is worse when Big E isn't there, and they're finally doing that now. Like when it's Xavier Woods and Kofi, that is the weakest of the three possible teams.
Yeah, and it's always, and you know what, Xavier Woods always has a good match doing it, but he always loses, and that's the story.
Yeah, so the weakest combination is what's going to defend their tag team titles. So it all plays up together to where we could get new tag team champions. The next match on this little list here, the Women's Championship. Dana Brooke is banned from ringside, sadly. I wish I could see Dana Brooke on the show, and maybe we will. Sasha Banks defending against Charlotte. Ric Flair has promised that Charlotte is going to break out something crazy on this show. Although when he said that, he probably thought it was going to happen on the show. I believe it was probably that moonsault from the top rope to the outside that she did on Raw when the actual title match happened. But we'll see if Charlotte breaks out something crazy on this show. They're on pay-per-view. They're in a very important match. Sasha Banks lost her title to Bayley last year in Brooklyn. Will the story be different this year in Brooklyn?
No, she's going to retain. I think Charlotte will probably break out that moonsault again. And I think they are going to, I think Bayley Asuka is going to be a heck of a match in terms of emotion. So I think they're going to try and top it.
I would definitely. Especially
someone may die in this match, Rob. That's what worries me a bit, because they're going to try and overperform here.
They're absolutely going to try to overperform. You know, Sasha and Bayley are good friends. It's obvious if you're following them on social media, following what they do in the backstage videos on WWE.com and even in storyline. Obviously, Bayley is a good friend of Sasha Banks right now, and they do like to one up each other on social media. They are going to try to one up each other on this show. Bayley and Oscar are going to go out there. Whatever they do, that's a high bar to set, most likely. And now Sasha Banks and Charlotte have to top it. And Sasha Banks is going to be the one I really feel is going to have that weight on her shoulders. She's going to think it's her job to top it. And yes, she almost did kill herself
on that
last
dive
year in Brooklyn.
Well, not even on that. But I mean, when she won the title on that Raw, that dive that she took to the outside where she ended up bent over and she kind of over rotated, but you know what I mean.
Yep.
She landed in that awkward position. I thought she had broken her back. I did. So Sasha, and when Sasha gets excited, she, you know, yeah, both in Brooklyn and on that Raw. I mean, I keep her in your prayers, folks, but I am looking so forward to this match. I loved the fact that they were booing Charlotte on Raw.
Oh yeah.
My God. Nobody gets reactions like that anymore.
No, but the Flares do.
Yeah.
The Flares do. So this is the part of the show where I feel after a 2-hour pre-show and then probably about halfway through a 4-hour pay-per-view, people might get tired here. You got the big meat of the order coming up, but the moment Rusev and Roman Reigns come out for their match, I think it could be a turning point in the show, or it could be the part in the show where you really feel like this is going to be a special night, because if they can get Brooklyn behind them for the US title, this could be a special night if these two perform as good as they did on Raw, really.
Is it possible the women's title match opens the show?
Yeah, it's possible. They could spread out all the title matches. There are a lot of the title matches. They have the women's, the tag team, the US, the world, the Universal, the Intercontinental. They could spread out all of these matches. So yeah, it's possible the women's match opens it. I wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't either, because I think it's going to be hard to top, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah. Well, especially by the likes of Miz and Apollo Crews and the likes of even Rusev and Roman Reigns would have a tough job trying to top that. Most of the people on this card would have a tough job. Imagine opening that and then, you know, an hour later having Dean Ambrose and Dolph Ziggler. You know what? Dean Ambrose and Dolph Ziggler might open the show.
That's true.
They could spread out the world and Universal Championships like they do at WrestleMania when the titles were split. They did that a couple of times. You know, Edge and Alberto Del Rio going on super early in the Miz John Cena match super late.
Going back now to we're on Roman Reigns and Rusev.
Roman Reigns and Rusev for the U.S. Championship. The match that's going to be 6 days in the making.
Yeah, we are week 4 of the brand split. It's obvious to me that even though this is a secondary title feud, Roman Reigns is still very, very much the guy Vince wants on top.
It's an interesting time. Yeah. You have the Finn Balor stuff going on. You have the Brock Lesnar stuff going on, but who's been the focal point of the show the past couple of weeks? It's been Roman Reigns.
Yes.
Well, it's really been Sheamus and Cesaro, but look at it from the Vince standpoint. It's been Roman Reigns. The guy's main eventing a show. He's beating Rusev. Are they making it too obvious that he could win this championship?
No, because I think this is where they swerve the smart crowd. And they go, well, you think just because he won on the go home show, he's going to lose this match. I think Vince gives him a middle finger in Brooklyn, gives the fans and gets the boos, and he wins. I do. I think Roman Reigns wins this match for some reason.
Now, if Roman Reigns wins this match, is this where Sid returns? I need a serious answer, please.
No.
Okay. What about Goldberg?
Goldberg's not going to return here. He'd return in the Lesnar match.
Possibly. The news. I mean, it's not really news. I think it took a life of its own this week. WWE 2K and 2K Sports, they do the gimmick every SummerSlam weekend of the big launch with the key players in the next year's video game. And of course, Goldberg is the key player in the next video game. So they're having Goldberg come in for a WWE 2K event. And now everyone's wondering if he's going to show up on SummerSlam.
You know what? I'm going to take that back. They never put Goldberg in that kind of position. They still don't really like him all that much. But I'll tell you where they could put him. Heath Slater, open challenge. Goldberg comes in, spears him. Jackhammer.
There you go. Yeah, why not? Why not do something like that with Heath Slater? It's funny because, you know, Sting did this and Ultimate Warrior did this. And they didn't show up on SummerSlam. They come in later. Yeah. They come in later. So Goldberg Hall of Fame, maybe. I could see Goldberg being in the Hall of Fame this year.
Sure.
So he could do something. I just don't think it's going to be at SummerSlam, but you never know. You never know. John Cena, AJ Styles, I think is the match I'm looking forward to most on the show.
Yes.
Singles match, John Cena, AJ Styles. Could they give AJ the win? You're not going to have the interference most likely. You know, give him 15 to 20 minutes where AJ Styles can just prove what he's best at against the best WWE wrestler over the last year and a half or decade and a half, John Cena.
I think AJ Styles has to win this match. I don't think there's any doubt. Now, whether he has the help of the club or does it on his own, I'd love it to be a clean pin, but John Cena's going away for a while.
Yeah.
And
he's going to tape his TV show. When I say best wrestler over the last decade and a half, I mean in all aspects, not just in the ring. John Cena, you can't deny at this point how big John Cena's been. So for those who were saying best wrestler, what is Rob talking about? Give it a break with the John Cena hate. It's time to start understanding who he is.
And the template of SmackDown so far has been there's a star-driven feud that's on top of the title feud. And I think while AJ Styles is one of the best wrestlers around and has proven that in the ring, he's not yet a quote-unquote WWE star, yeah, so to speak. He hasn't had that coronation. I think this is his coronation, and then he goes on to maybe a Randy Orton, mm-hmm, or maybe even the belt. But yeah, no, I think AJ Styles wins here.
AJ Styles with the victory. I'm really excited for the match. I honestly, whichever way they go, if John Cena wins, that'll ask a lot of questions. You know, he's not advertised for Backlash. He's not advertised to be on the SmackDown only pay-per-view. So if he wins this match, how does he get out of Backlash? I think AJ Styles could win. That might be a factor why. And he might be the next title challenger. Like, we'll talk about this Dean Ambrose Dolph Ziggler match here probably next, but I don't see Dolph Ziggler being a long-term answer for the title program. I see Dean Ambrose getting a quick win or a win over the challenger. Not too much of a battle. And then going on to face AJ Styles, and that's your money match for the first SmackDown only pay-per-view. Very interesting questions with the fact that John Cena is not advertised for Backlash there. I'll go with AJ Styles winning too, and we bleed right into the World Championship match, Dean Ambrose, Dolph Ziggler. My theory, again, is Dean Ambrose wins, and this is it's an okay, respectable match. I'm not having too high of an expectation for it.
I am defying convention here. I still think that Dean Ambrose appearance on the Stone Cold podcast,
oh boy,
killed his championship aura in some ways.
Oh, so the answer is to give it to Dolph Ziggler?
They have something in the rebirth of Dolph Ziggler here. I'm not saying it's great yet, but there's something to build on here, and they may try it. But they want to get, I think they want to get the belt off of Dean sooner than later, and it's going to either be him or probably AJ Styles.
I just cannot fathom that Dean Ambrose survives both Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns, but finally succumbs to Dolph Ziggler.
It's wild and it's crazy and it doesn't sound like anything, but it would get people talking. I think Dolph Ziggler gets the title here, but if I'm wrong, I'm not going to be upset about it.
It's a new headline of the show. Jeff Hawkins predicts Dolph Ziggler win. That's going to be in the old write-up, which I have 100% control over. 100% control over. We get to, well, now here's an interesting question. What match main events the show? Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton? Or Finn Balor and Seth Rollins?
I really don't know. I everything inside me up until you asked the question said Brock Randy, but I could see them going, well, it's a flagship show when we're going to coronate a champion here. But I think it's going to be Brock Randy Orton.
I agree. And maybe based on the results, what they have planned for the results of these matches, that's what will determine the placement. Like if Finn Balor is going to win and maybe Randy Orton wins, I don't know if Randy Orton is, I don't know if he can win this match and get a huge reaction, like a show closing reaction. I'm not too sure about that. And nor with Brock Lesnar. Like I'm really worried if that main event's the show, how the fans will take the result and how you're signing off with whatever you do there. Unless like a Goldberg comes in or there's some type of crazy, wacky surprise at the end. That could be it. But I'm going to go with a safe pick. I think it's safe to say Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton win or main event the show. Okay. Although I can definitely see Finn Balor and Seth Rollins doing it. I don't see Dean Ambrose and Dolph doing it. I don't see John Cena and AJ Styles doing it. Like those are the only two likely scenarios for me. But let's talk about Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, the Universal Championship, the Championship of Raw. If Roman Reigns wins the U.S. title, you may not necessarily need the biggest star power in your world title division. So I can see Finn Balor winning here and try to build him up and make him more meaningful. Keep going with Seth Rollins. Maybe they issue someone else in there. But I like the idea of Finn Balor possibly winning this if Roman Reigns wins the U.S. title.
I tend to think that they don't think Finn's ready yet. They haven't let him talk in this build. Well,
if he's not ready, he's not ready yet, why are you promoting this match and pushing him right to the main event scene of SummerSlam, mind you?
Because they wanted to get that talk out of Raw. I think they think the money's in the chase here. I think they have Finn lose this one and then win later down the road if he proves himself. So I think Seth Rollins here is the more safe pick. I think Seth Rollins wins the title.
The money's in the chase with Finn. You know, Finn didn't chase the NXT title. He won it his very first shot.
Yeah, it's a different audience.
And then he kept it for a really long time.
Different worlds. They have to tell the story of Finn as the underdog overcoming. They're going to tell a story with Finn.
I'm sick of every time it's the smaller. Like, do we need 5 underdog stories on the same show? Especially, God, when it's one person's gimmick on Raw, even though he's not on this pay-per-view.
Well, you know what? If they do have him win, you know who Finn's first program is with, don't you?
Well, I would say they rematch Seth Rollins, but go ahead.
Kane.
No, God, no, it's not.
Just like Daniel Bryan.
No. No, uh-huh. That was a whole different reason. That was post-WrestleMania and yet. No.
It writes itself.
It literally does because no one else is writing it. So yeah. If it's written, it's being written by itself. That's the only option.
I'd love to see them put the belt on Finn here. I just think it's going to be too soon. People are still learning about him.
People are still learning about him. That is a true statement. And I think this is one of those reasons why they should, teach the people faster. This guy is our champion. He's the big guy.
I agree. In a perfect world, that would be it. But this is Vince McMahon we're talking about. My skepticism has reared its ugly head. I think they give it to Seth right now.
He's the big guy. How long will they do this demon entrance gimmick? Will it be on every pay-per-view? Will they make it till WrestleMania where he can do a big, huge, elaborate entrance that blows everyone's minds? Or is this something that's going to fade away pretty quickly now that he's on the main roster?
If that Brooklyn crowd pops for it, it'll be on every pay-per-view.
Every pay-per-view. I believe when he debuted in NXT TakeOver and was the demon, mm-hmm. we probably asked this very same question, and obviously it went on pretty long. So, people like it. I may not be the biggest fan of it on the main roster, but people like it. So as long as they like it, they're going to keep doing it. So you have Finn Balor winning this match.
I have Seth Rollins.
Oh, you have Seth Rollins winning this match. Oh, yeah. If it goes on last, I think Finn Balor wins. If it does not go on last, I would think Seth Rollins wins. He finds a way.
I think you're correct on that assessment.
It really depends on where this match is placed.
Okay.
Yeah. But let's go with Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton as the main event of the show. Brock Lesnar probably not coming back until November at the earliest, possibly even Royal Rumble.
This is his bye-bye time, yeah.
It is. SummerSlam's his bye-bye time. And he may be back at Survivor Series, but I wouldn't be expecting him really until Royal Rumble time. And you have Randy Orton, who's just coming back. This would be his first big match, as far as a pay-per-view after his return. And he's a guy that you can make a title contender on SmackDown if you keep him on SmackDown. He could be a big name. If John Cena leaves for a bit, Randy Orton, you'll need that guy. You really will need that guy. I think all signs point to Randy Orton somehow being the one to beat Brock Lesnar.
Yes. Randy Orton's the one who needs the win. SmackDown needs the star power. You're damn right. It's going to be Randy Orton.
They wouldn't dare use Goldberg here to get that victory, though, would they?
No.
I don't think so. That's what I'm seeing out there.
It would cheapen the win.
Well, not even that. I don't see why you do Goldberg and Brock Lesnar as a program.
The only way you could do that and have it help is if Goldberg only puts his hands on Paul Heyman.
Yeah, I think I only bring up Goldberg in this scenario because that's what I'm seeing. A lot of people freaking out about the Goldberg news, even though months ago when he was issued as the main character in WWE 2K, you knew he was going to be here at SummerSlam weekend.
No, what they would do with Goldberg is they'd have him do a backstage vignette with Brock to tease it for later for when Brock comes back and maybe for WrestleMania. And if Goldberg does anything in ring or violent, it's going to be to Heath Slater more than likely. If Heath Slater's not fighting Braun Strowman.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. The iTunes link is bit.ly/str iTunes, or just go into iTunes and search Shake Them Ropes. Go on there right now, whether it's on your desktop, tablet, or phone, whichever phone you have. Even if you don't subscribe to us on iTunes, go check us out on iTunes, rate and review the show. Tell the people what you like, tell the people what you don't like. Get it out there. Let them know what you think about Shake Them Ropes. That's bit.ly/str iTunes. You can follow the show at Shake Them Ropes. You can follow Jeff at Crap Game 13. Why this the laughter?
This may not be the week to review my performance on this show.
Go give Jeff more things to recklessly speculate about.
Yes. Oh, jeez. I'm looking back and I'm going, oh, God, I'm going to get buried for so much this week.
Yeah, really. Let's recklessly speculate about Naomi's new entrance. Let's recklessly speculate about, what Heath Slater's doing. Let's recklessly speculate about Rhino's chances.
They glommed a bit off. Okay, well, I'll answer the first one. They glommed a little bit off of Bailey's entrance for Naomi. It's very interesting. Let's go to NXT.
The longer Bailey waits, the more stuff she's going to have ripped off by main roster people. Just going to happen. That's what happens. You wait, and it's not even their fault. It's not like she's waiting for a reason that's her own. They just don't want to call her up yet. And more people will take stuff from her.
Oh yeah.
Yep. As much as they can. Before we get to NXT Takeover, we'll close with NXT Takeover. I want your thoughts on, we're recording this late Wednesday. You watched the Cruiserweight Classic show tonight. I did too. Mm-hmm. We have some of the third round matches. What did you think? What have you thought about the last 2 weeks actually of Cruiserweight Classic presentation?
I absolutely loved that Cedric Alexander Kota Ibushi.
Well, that match was great.
I thought that thing was great. I am having second thoughts that either Kota Ibushi or Zack Sabre Jr. are going to win this thing now, because if all the rampant speculation on the net's true, neither of these guys have signed, and it may fizzle out to just guys that they have under contract.
Right. If you're a fan of Kota Ibushi, you probably know this is a guy who's done weird things before. He does Kaiju Big Battle, which is like a cartoon promotion almost, in how they use their characters on WrestleMania weekend and so forth. This guy, he works at his own pace. He works where he wants. And this is a guy who left New Japan when they were giving him really strong matches and making a name for himself even larger. He left them to do nothing. And here he ends up in WWE. I just don't think he's going to go on the road full time in WWE or live in Florida and not be able to go anywhere. I don't think he's coming. And we started to hedge kind of on who could possibly win this thing last week. And I'm really liking the option, no spoilers here, just who's left in the tournament, who's moving on to the next round, and who's still in the show in the coming weeks. I really think they're going to go TJ Perkins and even Grand Metalik.
Okay. I'd be happy with that.
Zack Ryder maybe getting to the finals, but I think Grand Metalik is making a name for himself in this Cruiserweight Classic.
Zack Sabre. You said Zack Ryder.
Well, Zack Ryder is not going to make it far in this tournament. Yeah. Zack Sabre, however, might.
And as for this week's show, loved two of the three matches. I thought, as I said in the open, Jack Gallagher is tailor-made to be a star on the main roster once he gets up there, because he can talk and he has personality in the ring. Yeah, he's a great wrestler, but as we said, great wrestling is about third or fourth down. He can be a star. WWE is that kind of promotion that's tailor-made for his style. And then the Kendrick Tony Nese match, I thought that over-delivered. I do. I liked Tony Nese should get signed, I think. And I love the story of Brian Kendrick being old and treacherous to rely on his wits. Yeah. I thought that match was great. Ho-Ho Lun and Noam Dar, not so much. But thank God Ho-Ho Lun is out of this tournament.
Wow, Ho-Ho Lun hater. I have liked the matches so far. I think we're now getting into the stuff where almost every match is going to be really good, especially now that we've gotten after the Noam Dar match. It's looking really interesting, and the question kind of relates both to Raw and this tournament. It's not just who's going to win this tournament, but yes, the Cruiserweights are coming. The Cruiserweight division is coming to Raw, but who will make up the Cruiserweight division right now is still a big question.
I think introducing them is going to be problematic. If Finn Balor is not this well known when he came out, and they feel they have to debut the Demon gimmick on a Corpus Christi go home show, NXT is a higher priority and has more eyeballs than the Cruiserweight Classic. They're going to have to do some video packages here to introduce these guys. And I'm fairly certain they're going to be adding guys like Neville to the cruiserweight roster.
I think they're going to add Neville. You know, I'm on the position that, it's not just me making things up out of thin air. There's a lot of evidence that points to Sami Zayn potentially being in this division too, and being a big star of it. And that does not mean he's not going to be a big star. Like, he can be a cruiserweight and a big star at the same time.
What this could turn into is that first hour of Nitro back in the day, right, where you had right. all the luchadors and cruiserweights and all they talk about.
And Rey Mysterio and Chris Jericho and Dean Malenko.
And it would be great matches, and all they talk about is Roman Reigns coming out in the third hour. What's he going to do?
Yeah, but if you put a guy like Neville in there, if you even, especially Sami Zayn, if you have guys like that in the cruiserweight division, I think you're not going to see Michael Cole and Corey Graves, you know, going into main event spiel and ignoring the matches. They're going to be talking about Sami Zayn. They're going to be talking about the cruiserweights, especially up front. We'll see how long that lasts. But if you have a guy like Sami Zayn in there, I think it does a lot of good for that division, especially right off the ground.
Yeah, it does. And Sami Zayn has personality and he can talk. Neville is a problem because once you've seen his flashy moves, if you do it week after week, he becomes the law of diminishing returns. He doesn't cut good promos. He doesn't have much of a personality.
Unless you put him in there with someone who does, like maybe, you know, someone coming in from the Cruiserweight Classic going opposite.
TJ Perkins will be perfect.
Yep. TJ Perkins will be great. He's my pick to win right now.
Bring in Stokely Hathaway with him, please.
Yeah, I'm changing my pick, obviously, from beforehand. Beforehand, I thought Johnny Gargano was going to win. TJ Perkins is my pick to win. He is my pick to win at this moment. Sami Zayn, by the way, still billed at 205 on the website. He is technically a cruiserweight.
Give me TJ Perkins as the winner of the Cruiserweight Classic, please.
It'd be very interesting to see what they do on... we talk about TakeOver. We're going to talk about TakeOver here. They are likely going to record a 1-hour show to air next Wednesday from Brooklyn. So we might see some of the guys from the Cruiserweight Classic. We might see Zack Sabre in front of a Brooklyn crowd in a WWE ring. We're going to see where NXT goes a little bit in the future here. So a very fun episode next coming up on NXT being taped in Brooklyn here. But let's talk about the main show. NXT TakeOver Brooklyn happening on Saturday night. Let's start off with Austin Aries against No Way Jose in a singles match. What I feel will probably be a pretty big, strong showcase match for No Way Jose.
Yeah. And I think people have worked themselves into thinking, well, Austin Aries is the better wrestler. He should win here. You got to think, who do they have investment in?
Is that really,
who do they want?
Is that really what's happening? Cause I don't sense any of that.
Okay, I read somewhere where it was, but I mean, just in case anybody's optimistic about, well, you know, Austin Aries is great here, but you know, all these guys are bringing in, No Way Jose is getting the win here.
Yeah,
and then they're going to Fiesta in the after.
Let's look at the past. I mean, Austin Aries beat Baron Corbin, even though Baron Corbin is far and away the better wrestler. Ember Moon and Billy Kay. Ember Moon's debut.
No, you get to hang yourself on some of these for once, as opposed to me recklessly speculating.
Oh, that's not speculation. Baron Corbin's great. Ember Moon versus William Kay coming up in a singles match. This is Ember Moon's debut. Ember Moon making the big takeover debut. It's cool that they're giving the debut. You know, they every takeover we have like the one debut. We had Asuka's. You know, a while back, and now it's back with Ember Moon here, showcasing not only the women's division, but really a showcase for Ember Moon, who's going to be a big star as we head into 2017 for the NXT women. I think this one's probably going about 4 or 5 minutes. If Ember Moon hits her O-face finisher, which is the Diamond Dust finisher, that would be awesome. She's been doing it on house shows. It'll be great if she can do it on the main roster. Billy Kay is coming here to basically die a death.
Oh, you stole my thunder on that. You remember when Billy Kay and Peyton Royce first came in? I thought Billy Kay was going to be a star, and yeah, she may well be later. But she no, not yet.
Yeah,
but she's gonna die here.
Yeah, no, it was a mistake.
She going to die, and this NXT women's division being rebuilt is going to be very, very interesting. Especially, did you watch this week's NXT?
I did.
The 6-woman match.
Yes, indeed. A lot of you got the Liv Morgans, you got Nikki Glencross in her debut, you got Mandy Rose, who's going to be a superstar.
Nikki will slide very well into that Bailey slot.
I tell you, man, the division might be more loaded for the future talent than it was when you started seeing the four horsewomen rise up.
Oh, let's not push it. The rest of them are hot blondes who
you're gonna have Asuka.
The Brian Alvarez special.
Hey, like you got Mandy Rose. Mandy Rose will be a superstar, probably on the main roster, but Mandy Rose is going to be a superstar. You have Asuka.
Is she gonna be any good in the ring?
Not right away. Probably not right away, but we don't know. Do you know? Are you watching a lot of Florida house shows with Mandy Rose on them? You don't know how good she is.
But you picked her to be a superstar. And I mean, because you don't
have to see how they act in the ring to know who's going to be a superstar or not a lot of the times.
All right.
You don't need it. You can watch her entrance and see she was going to be the big star. Of all six of those girls that were in the ring, Mandy Rose was the one who stood out above all of them.
Yeah, well, Eva Marie has a great entrance too.
It wasn't Mandy Rose. She doesn't pop, at least not to me. Maybe she does. Obviously she does to those backstage as far as Eva Marie goes. But anyway, Mandy Rose will be a star. The point is you have a lot of good talent in the women's division. You have Nikki Glenn Cross. You have Asuka. You have Mandy Rose. You have Ember Moon, who's now coming in. Bayley is still there, by the way. I mean, Bayley is there also. Who knows how good Daria is going to be? Who knows how good Liv Morgan's going to be? You have Aaliyah still there, who by all accounts on house shows and in training is getting really good at wrestling. And she had a wrestling background. She wasn't just a woman who was signed and then turned into a wrestler. She was an indie wrestler before that. There's a lot of talent there. And that, you know, by my count, that's more than four.
Yeah. And you have people that are kind of circling the outer sphere of NXT. They could sign if they wanted to.
Right.
The legacy picks.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. You're Tessa Blanchard, fave. But
I was also thinking Rachel Ellering as well.
Well, Rachel Ellering's my favorite. She is awesome. And she just has a presence about her too. And she's big.
I think she's good. I think she has a lot of potential. They may just let her go get some seasoning.
She's got some size to her. She's going to make other girls look small. And that's not necessarily a bad thing either. But there's a lot of talent in that division, and we don't know how all they're going to turn out. And I'm not saying that they're going to be as big as the four horsewomen. I just mean there's a lot of talent as far as depth goes. And that's more than when Paige and Emma left, you didn't know how good Sasha Banks was going to be. You didn't know how good Charlotte was going to be.
No, when Paige and Emma left, Sasha and Bayley were stuck doing 3-minute matches on the mid card, and they weren't very good.
Summer Rae was the star.
Trading wins. Yeah.
So we don't know how good this division is going to be, but there's a lot more potential for goodness in that division. All that's to say Ember Moon's going to win.
Oh, yeah.
Getting back to point.
Sorry.
I feel so bad for CN. So bad for Andrade Almas. I mean, it's nothing he has done is his fault as far as the crowd not getting into him.
This is a crappy gimmick.
What's the gimmick is he's a Mexican playboy who's coming in and looks better than everyone else. It's a crappy gimmick for a babyface in America.
Yes.
But he's going up there against Bobby Roode. Bobby Roode coming in. Now, unless they want to do the surprise thing where Bobby Roode thinks he's glorious and he thinks he's this big star and has grandiose plans and obviously is looking past Andrade Almas. Maybe Andrade Almas gets the win and knocks Bobby Roode down a peg, and then we start seeing a more serious program between the two. I can see that. I can see Andrade actually winning here, and then Bobby Roode and Andrade going even further after this takeover in a more serious angle. But it's just a bad spot for Andrade, because I think the people are going to want to see Bobby Roode, and I think they're going to go crazy for Bobby Roode.
I think you're right, but that's the scenario I think. I think CN Almas gets a fluke win here.
Whether it's a fluke or whether he just flat out beats Bobby Roode and Bobby Roode has to, think a little bit more about his future. Well,
the surprising win, and then it turns into a more serious Roode, and this turns into a program.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with that. I'm going to stick to the crazy guns here and think Andrade Almas breaks the mold of big time, free agents coming in and getting wins. I think Andrade Almas gets the win.
Yeah. The other very possible thing is that they just scrap this gimmick for him and repackage him as God, La Sombra. Well,
I mean, I don't know if you put the mask back on him, but Andrade Almas in this iteration won't be the same guy a year from now. I think we can all agree on that.
Right.
He'll be a different guy. The name will be the same probably, but his character will look different a year from now to what it is right now. I'd go Andrade Almas getting the win here. And then a pretty surprising match, really. Tag team titles, Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano going up against the Revival in a match I think a lot of people probably predict that Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa might win. I'm one of them. I think Ciampa and Gargano win here.
I don't. I think the Revival hold on, but I think it's going to be a heck of a match.
Oh, it's going to be this
Gargano-Ciampa team has really grown on me because I was never a big Tommaso Ciampa fan for some reason.
I was the same way. Tommaso Ciampa over the last year coming into NXT has lit a fire under him, just like it's doing to Cedric Alexander. You talk about Alexander and Ibushi in the Cruiserweight Classic. I mean, Cedric Alexander wasn't lighting Ring of Honor on fire, and Tommaso Ciampa wasn't either, but here they have a shot to be in the largest company in the world for pro wrestling. And they are making every bit of it. And he is now a full-time guy. And Johnny Gargano, also a full-time guy. They are full-time with NXT. Very interesting matchup here. And I think Ciampa and Gargano are going to have the crowd behind them because they have some type of weird chemistry with fans.
They do. And I, you know what? I mean, when Ciampa first came in, I mean, I watched him in PWG. I mentioned this. He looked small. He looked like a midget with a mohawk. And I think shaving off the mohawk and this program in the Cruiserweight Classic and just the matches and being a team for a while has really, really done wonders for him on this NXT roster. I just don't see this tag match is going to be fantastic. Don't get me wrong. And I love the Revival. Anybody who listens to me knows I love me some Revival. Is there a possibility that they turn Ciampa heel against Gargano here in this match?
Well, that is, if you want to think the Revival wins, it's possible. Maybe playing off their Cruiserweight Classic match. Ciampa getting eliminated by Johnny Gargano. Maybe he has, you know, revenge in his mind, set aside the tag team championships, and he wants revenge more.
I don't see them taking the belts off this quick off the Revival after they just got them at Even WrestleMania.
It is their second, and they had to get them off American Alpha because American Alpha was leaving.
Yeah.
So someone had to do it, and it just so happened to be the Revival, so they can have this NXT TakeOver match. I would say it's more likely to me that they win the tag team titles, Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, instead of breaking up. But I can certainly... They set the planting, or they planted the seeds.
I would agree with you. I just don't know. They'd have to continue this program with the Revival because TM61 is going off with the Authors of Pain, and I don't think you have another heel team around.
Not at the moment. But also keep in mind, we are likely coming up on the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic.
Okay, I thought they might be having a women's tournament instead.
The Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. If they want to make that an annual thing, it's interesting now because you have Goldust there. You don't have Cody Rhodes there. If they continue that or just made it a one-time thing. But you could be seeing something like that. So maybe the tag team titles aren't necessarily the top priority once Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa win them. Or if the Revival keep them. We could see some different things there. Interesting match, though. I think that's probably going to be outside of the two main events. If you're looking at the undercard, the tag team title match, if any match is going to potentially steal the show, that's it.
Yeah.
As long as they're not going in afterwards and talking about stealing the show, that'll be great.
Or Pokemon.
Oh, God. Asuka and Bayley, the NXT Women's Championship. Very big match for Bayley. I mean, Bayley lost a little momentum once she won the title. Because you want to talk about someone who's all in it for the chase. That's why Bayley was getting so beloved. People wanted to see her overcome and stop, you know, she was the underdog. They wanted to see her win the big one. And then she did. And the buzz was kind of going away. And
the buzz went away because they used her to build up Nia Jax. And nobody wanted to see her get killed by Nia Jax. They wanted to see her as a strong champion for a while before doing this rematch with Asuka. But then the Asuka match came and that was a surprise live. Go ahead with your preamble and I'll go into my pick.
Yeah, after. Well, I knew because we talked about it. You were live at NXT TakeOver Dallas and you said that was a big surprise to you live. And it was probably a big surprise to some people. I didn't. I went in thinking Asuka was going to win and that just happened. And because I thought that the Bayley chase was what it's all about. And so Bayley had to do the redemption tour. She lost to Nia Jax. She had to come back from injury. And again, the Nia Jax loss was because of injury. It wasn't like she was dominated by Nia Jax. So she goes away. She comes back from the injury. She has to beat Nia Jax. She does. She has to beat, I think she beat Alexa Bliss, right? And she did. And she did. And now she is the former champion coming back, credible, for her rematch And can she overcome the dragon that is Asuka? That's a huge story. The best stories with Bayley are her challenging for something, not defending something.
Correct. And I think this is still the best feud on either card this weekend. That video package tonight was fantastic again. Again, yeah. For the second weekend in a row, or the second year in a row, they have the best video package for Bayley's feud.
They have a great video package. You're right. I agree. This is the best story told on any of the shows. And it's especially great because it's been told since March.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is a continuation from March.
Yeah. Bayley's been getting more and more confident in herself, getting, you know, building herself up. And Asuka's been adding a little bit of heelishness to her thing because she's gotten so cocky and she's been so dominant that she doesn't think anybody can come and beat her. I think again, Bayley's going to be the princess of Brooklyn. And I think this may steal the show. This may be the one that steals the show out from under everybody again.
It'll be tough with the main event, but it could very well be the match that a lot of people are talking about the most. I mean, it's certainly what happened last year. I mean, Sasha Banks was the match people were talking about.
I think Bayley wins here, loses to someone maybe on a TV taping if they're going to bring her up. Who knows if they're ever going to bring her up? I don't know. I would think after that battleground pop that they have to bring her up, but you never know with the way they think up there. So, but I think Bayley gets the big, big reaction here, gets the win. And I think Asuka finally respects her in the end. I think it becomes a matter of respect type thing.
Seven months in WWE go pretty quickly. And I think they're, you know, keeping some talent outside of the main roster so they can have some people to call up on the post WrestleMania shows like usual. So I could see Bayley staying around for a while in NXT all the way until WrestleMania next year.
She's a touring draw.
She is a touring draw. Triple H announcing that NXT is going to tour Australia sometime soon. That was interesting today. Just a little news tidbit for you. TM61 probably going to be a big deal on those shows.
Peyton and Billy, both Australian.
Excuse me. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Peyton Royce. When is she coming back? She's the better of the two, I think.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
Right now. Yeah. She's rehabbing an injury, I think.
Yeah, I believe that's the case. Samoa Joe and Shinsuke Nakamura. You want to talk about story? I think there's a perception out there that this has been a story well told, even though the last 2 months or the last 2 weeks really of TV have been Samoa Joe being super angry that Shinsuke is coming in and just getting this title shot and being so cool about it. Like Samoa Joe thinks that Shinsuke should be a little bit more serious and you know, like he's jealous, if you will, that Shinsuke is so cool. Well, Shinsuke just, you know, plays the cool guy. He's the super cool guy. And then when the match comes, he's going to kick you in the face. It's an interesting way of going about this match. And I certainly think the match will be awesome, but not the best story going in. That's the only nitpick. The pros, Samoa Joe defending the title against Shinsuke Nakamura, could be the best match of the night. I'm super hyped for this one. There's going to be a lot of kicks. There's going to be a lot of hard hitting. And there's going to be a lot of Shinsuke Nakamura trying to get Joe riled up. And Joe will oblige by getting super riled up. And this one is going to be awesome.
Oh, I agree. I think Joe's been the best champion on either show. I mean,
well, not much competition, I'll tell you.
No, but I mean, just his.
And we're including all title holders, not just the world champ.
Yes.
All title holders.
He's great. On the main roster. Yes. He has the most championship aura. He is a badass. He looks into the camera to connect. That also helps. He's throwing away around his championship weight rather than being a, for lack of a better term, a bitch to authority figures. You believe he's an ass kicker. Yeah, he's the best champion on either roster. This match is going to be phenomenal. I don't think anybody doubts that. I don't think Shinsuke Nakamura wins. I think they continue a program for a while. I think Joe takes a shortcut. I think they have a great, great match, and eventually Joe takes a shortcut and wins.
Yeah, especially if Asuka and Bayley go out there and steal the show, if you will, and have this amazing match, even if Bayley wins the title back, especially if Bayley wins the title back, I don't know if you need to have a title change with Shinsuke and Samoa Joe. Maybe hold that off a little bit longer.
Yes.
Last year, Finn Balor defended the championship successfully against Kevin Owens. You don't need to make the main event a big template changing match because Asuka and Bayley is going to be remembered most likely as the biggest match of the show.
And for the love of God, if either of those matches end up in blood hard way, keep the doctors away.
Whoa.
Keep the doctors away.
It's going to be great.
And let them finish the match, because that adds to the drama. There's nothing that killed Dallas more than those doctors coming out and trying to put towels on Joe.
It didn't necessarily kill Dallas. It maybe did for you live, because it did add to the match in the later stages.
Okay. But yeah. No, you're right. Dallas. When I watched it on TV, it did, but it killed the flow live. It absolutely killed the flow.
Well, you're also, if you're live there, you know, paying $450 for a ticket, you're probably worried. You're probably crapping your pants. Like, oh my God, is this match, the main event, going to be stopped after 2 minutes because of blood? You're worried.
If you're paying $450 for NXT,
someone did. Someone did.
Paid you. Yeah.